So the feast day is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. It's what we call a feast day of the Lord, or solemnity of the Lord. We're in ordinary time in the church, and in the midst of that, there are particular Sundays or particular days throughout the year we remember a quality of God, and we call them solemnities of the Lord. So instead of wearing green, we wear white, among other things. And so this is one of them. Another one would be the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Another one would be the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, for example. So we have a couple of these solemnities of the Lord throughout the year. And we remember a particular quality of the Lord. Today we remember the Most Holy Eucharist. And I'm not actually going to go into an explanation of the church's teaching on why we say Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament today. Hopefully, you've heard it before. If you haven't, I encourage you maybe after my homily to look into it. We have library resources. We have a lot of audio resources. You can even just Google, why do Catholics believe this? And hopefully maybe further on in the year, you'll hear it again. But that's not my point today. I'd like to speak about the quality of this feast day, and that is the quality of intimacy with the Lord. This intimacy with the Lord. Every once in a while, I'll be out with a group of friends, and sometimes with married folks, not always, but every once in a while, I'll be out with a group of married people, and I'll hear one of the spouses, it's usually the man, but not always, say something, especially if they're not with their other spouse, say something, you know, commenting on maybe one of the waitresses or something, you know, saying something about, you know, the way she looks or something like that. And we might think of it as sort of innocent. It's very maybe acceptable in our culture, but it definitely doesn't speak to that person and the strength of their marriage, right? But we kind of gloss over it. But I'll hear things like that every once in a while. And I think to myself, that person must have a relationship that's kind of waning or struggling with their intimacy. Now, all of us, no matter if we're married or not, can have moments where we struggle with the intimacy in our relationships. And so maybe you're not married, but you can have intimacy issues with your parents or your siblings. Maybe a parent or a grandparent has passed away who was like the rock, and now the siblings fight. This happened in my family when my grandparents sold their house, and they've lost that central place where the siblings would gather, and then they began to have some disagreements over things. They lost a sense of that intimacy that they once had. Even priests have this in their own way, right? We can struggle with the intimacy that once drew us into desiring the priesthood. And we have to renew that. No matter who we are or where we are, whether we're married or we're single or we're elderly or we're young, doesn't matter. All of us can have times where we lose a sense of intimacy. In our faith, we say that the most intimate moment is the most blessed sacrament. We say it is the source and summit of our faith. We say it is the fountain from which the church flows forth. And so for us as Catholics, it's the central and most intimate mystery of our faith. And yet, how many of us, probably all of us at times, go through moments or even seasons of our life where we might know that's true, maybe we learned it, but we begin to lose that sense of intimacy. We begin to, as it were, put our eye on other things that catch our fancy, kind of like going out to dinner with some friends and you see them looking at other people's wives or other people's husbands. And so what do we do with that? Well, I have a couple thoughts. One is, and they're all centered around this actually, is to remember what you were like when you first received your first communion. I don't know if you can remember that. I don't remember it. But I get to watch it. I get to see other people do that now. And I remember, or I see it now, the great joy that a second grader has when they receive communion. And as a priest, they make drawings for you, and maybe parents do, and you get all these drawings, and they're super intense. You know, they're super intense and very profound and true. And the kids just love to do them, and they have a great respect, a desire, a fervor. They kind of get it. And as we grow up, we begin to lose that. And yet, we should call to mind that intimacy that these kids have, these members of our family and of our parish. I think then of a story that I heard. It was from a book by someone named Venerable Fulton Sheen. He was a bishop, I think, of Rochester, New York, and had a radio show and a TV show. Some of you maybe remember watching Bishop Sheen when you were young on television. And he wrote in a book on Thérèse of Lisieux called A Treasured Love Story, he mentioned a story of a little girl who had received her first communion in China in 1953, in May of 1953. This is that time in the beginnings of the communist revolutions in China, what they called the Great Leap Forward and the Cultural Revolutions, where about 45 million Chinese lost their lives, many through starvation, but others through direct taking of their life and persecution. And it was an atheist regime, and so the soldiers would go in and would take away a lot of the religious imagery, which is a very common thing in revolutions. They go and they take away the religion of those who they're trying to have power over. And so they go into the churches and the schools and take away these little drawings that the school children would do. And then they gathered these, in this particular instance, the children of this village into the church, and they knew that the people had a great devotion to Jesus present in the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. So with the whole church gathered, they opened up the tabernacle and they threw all the hosts in the ciborium, threw them all on the floor, and they set the tabernacle on fire as a way of saying, your stupid superstition isn't meaningless. Well, this little girl named Lee watched all of this, who had just received her first communion and was, as you could imagine, very upset. The whole village was there. Even their parish priest was there. And as they all went into what was something like a house arrest into their homes, and the parish priest was a fearful man, probably like I would be, but this little girl wasn't. And she knew that our Lord was present in the Blessed Sacrament, and so as the story goes, each day she would come very early in the morning, and she would sneak into the church, and she knew that, as the sisters told her, that she could only receive communion once a day, so she would receive one host. She would go to the host on the floor, and that was in the days when you couldn't receive communion on your hands, so she would literally kind of, as they say, like eat off the floor. She would lick a host off the floor, bending all the way to the ground, each day for, something like 30 days. And as she was getting near the end of all of the hosts that were in the church, a soldier caught sight of this. The priest had seen her too and wondered why she wouldn't get all the hosts at once. But remembering, the sisters taught her you can only receive communion once. And being a young person was very strong about following the rules, as any of you with second graders know, right? You have to do it right. And so the priest watches this. Well, one day a soldier saw this too and follows this young child into the church. The priest, seeing this, hears a shot ring out. Hears a sound of someone falling to the floor. And the soldier, in his remorse, having taken the life of this little girl, goes to free the priest. Maybe a sense of Catholic guilt, I'm not sure. Goes to free the priest from his house arrest, and they both go into the church together, and they go over the little girl's body, and the soldier says to the priest that if there was little girls like this in every village in China, there would be no soldiers fighting for the communists. Why do I say this story? To speak of that sense of closeness, that sense of truth, that sense of intimacy that our young people have. I guarantee it, if we had something like that happen in our country, our young people would be the first to, go to their death before us adults would be, probably, because they have this sense of belief. And so I encourage you to look at the young people of our parish not with a sense of, oh, those foolish people who they just don't know yet. To say, well, no, there's a truth that they understand that I need to renew in my heart. This truth that the Lord is intimately close. So hear the words that we say. We hear in our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. This is my body. I mean, it's almost, as we would say, like marital imagery. And it should be. That's what Jesus would say it would be. He says he is the bride, or he is the groom, and we are the brides. And he gives us his body. That sense of closeness and intimacy. So if you are in your life at a place where that intimacy that you maybe had when you were young is beginning to fade, beginning to wane, perhaps like it does in our relationships, well, I encourage you to do something differently. And so I have three categories of things to do. This is a limited list. You can have many other examples in your own life. The first is to renew your intimacy with your body, with the way that you bring yourself to church. So what might you do? Well, keep the fast, that hour fast before communion, right? If your loved one or your spouse is making you a big dinner, you don't stop at McDonald's on the way, unless you don't like their food, I suppose, right? But you say, well, I'm eating, and so I'm going to wait. Well, same thing with our faith. We fast an hour before communion to renew that, to continue to do that. When you come to church, you guys do a pretty good job here compared to some places I go, but to dress yourselves as though you're doing something special, because we are. Like you're going to a Thanksgiving meal or a romantic dinner with a loved one. I was joking earlier, you know, you take a shower, you shave your face, and I'm growing my sabbatical beard. It's good luck. Well, like a playoff beard in hockey, you know, while Father Nathan is gone. But you can do something, whatever it may be, to prepare your body. And as you are here, to sit in silence before Mass. Don't just read the bulletin. Maybe you have a devotional book you can read. As you come up for communion, don't just look at everyone and say what they're wearing or who's here or judging people for what they're wearing, right? Maybe just close your eyes or sing the song that's in the hymnal. As you come up for communion, if you find it just going through the motions, change the way you do it. You know, we can receive the communion on our hand. We can receive communion directly in our tongue. And if you're used to doing it one way, try a different way. To jolt yourself, perhaps, to take it a little more seriously, to remember the intimacy that we have with the Lord. After communion, this is one of my favorite ones, and you'll see this today. The priest comes, we clear off the altar, I cleanse the chalices over at the side. And I think what most people do, I don't know because I don't look, I think they just sort of stare at the priest thinking, like, when's he going to sit? And then when I sit, I hear it, and I know that you're just watching me, not all of you, maybe most of you are just watching me because I hear a of all the kneelers going down. Well, you don't have to watch me at that point. You can just close your eyes and pray. And you know, when I sit, you don't have to pay attention to me. You can just keep praying. You can keep kneeling. You don't have to. You can sit whenever you want, right? And you'll hear it today, I know, because we're creatures of habit. When you hear that sound, I want you to think to yourself, was I just staring at the priest waiting for him to be done? Or was I praying? So that's with your body. With your intentions, to call to mind an intention for each Mass. As you come to church, we have an intention for the Mass, for every Mass, but you can have your own intention. To call one to mind during the offertory. As you come to receive communion, say, Lord, make this gift of your body and blood be for me this, whatever it may be. What do you need in your life? Ask the Lord for it. And pray for others around you. But make use of this time, this intimate moment with our Lord. Study. If you don't study, you probably don't grow in your love of the Lord, right? If you don't study your spouse or your family or friends, you don't know who they are, it's hard to love them. So go to the library here. Check out some audio CDs, a lot online. I'm sure we have all sorts of resources. It's just everywhere nowadays, that Formed website that we have, to do something. And finally, just to share the joy of this most, we would say, august, this most blessed sacrament with others. And if you do share it with others, you're going to want to know what you're sharing. And so I ask you, when's the last time you invited a friend to church with you? Maybe some of you did today, but probably most of you haven't in a long time. A family member, a friend, a neighbor, coworker. But the hard part is if you invite someone to something, they're going to say, well, what is it? And you have to know, and so you have to learn. But I challenge you to do these things. This is not an exhaustive list. You might do some of these and not all of these things. That's okay. But to do something, if you find that intimacy that you have beginning to fade, beginning to kind of wane in your life, if you do nothing, it's probably because it means nothing. So I encourage you to do something, and I'll end with a little note from our gospel. This is what it ends with. Jesus says, looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied.